enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today.
When I was young, there was someone in the church who told me a story about, he was telling me about a time that he was just filled with moments and periods of time in his life where he was lethargic, despairing, had difficulty really doing anything that just kind of hit home for him, that just kind of like made him think like it was worth doing. He would have moments where that just kind of settled in. And he knew that that wasn't normal for him. He knew that this didn't feel right. And so he's like, I need to get this straightened out. So I don't know why it is. Most of the time, you know, go about my day and everything's fine. But sometimes I just get hit with these very heavy moments. And so he went to his doctor, and the doctor asked many questions about his lifestyle, the stressors he was facing, the kinds of things that were going on. And to try to make sense of this, he said, hey, I want for the next month, what I would like you to do is I'd like you to do a diary recording of your day. I want you to kind of record how you're feeling each of those days, the kinds of things you did that day, any unique stressors that came your way, what you're eating. I just want you to kind of diary those kinds of things. And so he did that for a while, and he would mark on the days how he felt each day and which days were the worst and the best and the kinds of things around that. And after a long trial and error, he went back to the doctor, and the diary revealed that the feelings of despair and lethargy, the feelings of that hit him hardest were on Mondays. Now this wasn't just a case of the Mondays or something. I mean, he liked his job. But after further review, they noticed something about the preceding day, the Sunday before that. Well, that day was perfectly fine with friends and family gathered around watching football. What he noticed is he consumed an absurd amount of salt and sugars during the game that often paired with a late night and often led to a severe crash that affected his mood, his energy, and his outlook on life the next day. And so the next step the doctor prescribed was to kind of change his eating habits for that day, that when he's celebrating and watching football, to swap vegetable trays for the common chips and drink. And sure enough, what he would find is that it actually made a difference in how he was feeling in those worst days, in those moments. It kind of highlighted, in many ways, a phrase that perhaps we've heard before, you are what you eat. Right, that a lot of times what you take in affects who you are and what you do. When I first moved to South Portland, I was on staff at South Portland Church of the Nazarene, and the first assignment I got, Pastor Tim said to me, "Tim, this is your first assignment," and he said, "It's a take-home assignment. You can do this at home, but you need to do this." And I said, "Okay, what is it?" He's like, "I want you to watch Parks and Rec." And I was like, "Wait, what? You know, the TV show, Parks and Rec, have you seen it?" "No." He's like, "Well, we make jokes about it all the time, and you're going to need to understand what we're saying, so you need to watch that." And I was like, "Well, this is a weird assignment, but okay." And what I found in that is that there was indeed some very funny moments about a rural town Parks and Rec department. But one of the things that you notice is that there is this lovable, chubby character played by Chris Pratt. And what happens with Chris Pratt, not just in that series, but in his life, is he goes from his first acting job as this lovable, chunky actor and character. And then a few years later, he gets cast as a character in Marvel's cinematic universe. And he goes from lovable, chubby jokester to fit, lean Star-Lord of Guardians of the Galaxy. And so he changes who he is and what he does. And he even posts like funny videos about his kind of like diet process. Yes, he was going to the gym more too, but that wasn't even it. A lot of it was changing what he did to become a new character, to change who he was. He had to change what he was taking in. One of his funny videos has him wrestling with a jar of jelly and the great temptation that he faces of whether or not he's going to eat the sticky, sugary goodness inside. And it just ends up being this whole comedic show. But we've seen that a lot with actors who will drastically change body type and body image to fit the character, who they want to be and who they want to portray. Which is amazing, because now you can do a lot with CGI and special suits. You can do that, but still actors will say, to truly embrace the character, embrace who I want to become, I have to change this. And so the saying goes, you are what you eat. But sometimes it's really hard to watch what you eat, especially when there's so many good places to eat. I mean, when I moved here and found out that, like, Portland is known for being a place with good restaurants, I had no clue what that even meant until I got to try some of them. They are amazing. I mean, some of my favorite places have been Portland Pie for Pizza. I love that. I know Otto's gets all the fame, but I really like Portland Pie. And then, like, one place I took my parents, where they came and visited, I said, you got to try Empire Chinese. I have never really liked Chinese food, like the buffet style, just not my thing. But Empire's family style is amazing. I'm not getting paid for this promotion. I'm just saying it's amazing. But, and you might think, okay, so Tim's become a little bit of a food snob. But my favorite place to eat when I'm just in a hurry and just need to get something in my belly to keep me going, to just kind of, you know, make sure that, I'm not famished by the end of the day. When I just need to get a quick bite to eat, the place I go to most often is Taco Bell. And yeah, I know the name of the guy in the drive-thru, and he knows mine. And so Robbie and I are on a first-name basis. I want to read you a story about where Jesus chooses to eat. It's in Matthew chapter 9. Starts with verse 9, going to verse 13. As Jesus went out from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Imagine this scene with me, if you will, right? Right now, they're giving Jesus a hard time for eating with tax collectors, for eating with sinners. And some of us are thinking, well, I'd eat with anybody just so I could have some more company these days. I mean, right now, I'd eat just about anywhere, just to eat somewhere. But here they are saying, wait, Jesus, the company you're keeping, this is not good. When we look at the kind of people these are not the kind of people you want to be with. Today is June 15th. In case you didn't know, this is the new extended tax deadline, given that the situation that we found ourselves in with COVID and the hardship people had. They kind of pushed back the typical April 15th to right now. So if you haven't paid your taxes yet, like, today's the day to get on that. Imagine, though, if instead of sending the money in, or whether it's electronically with a card or putting a check in the mail, imagine that someone came knocking for it. And if you didn't have the money to pay for that, any pleas for an extension would be met with threats of violence by the paid authorities. I mean, this was what tax collecting was like. And you didn't really know what day they were coming, because in a big city, there's no way they can knock on all the doors on April 15th, right? They could come any time during the month, and you better have it ready. This is how despised they are. When someone can just knock on your door, say they're a tax collector, and say, give me the money that is due. Yet this is precisely one of the people who wrote this gospel. This is who Jesus meets, the one whom Jesus says, follow me. And Matthew follows him. And what's interesting about him following him is there's no sign yet that Matthew was seeking forgiveness. There's no sign at all that Matthew is changing anything about his life. When the other disciples followed him at the beginning, it says they dropped their fishing nets. They dropped everything, left it behind, and followed Jesus. There is this sense of, okay, they're changing the way in which they do their life. But not so with Matthew. They just follow him, and Matthew's like, okay, I'll check this guy out. Like, we don't even know, is he just following him because he knows he's going to a good meal? Like, what's going on here? There is no sense of this classic sense of forgiveness happening with Matthew following him, except for that this passage comes right after he forgives another person, a person who actually intrudes on his sermon by being lowered through a roof. And so and Jesus uses that moment to talk about forgiveness. But this is okay that we really don't know what's happening with Matthew yet. We don't know yet that he's going to become a disciple and he's going to become a gospel writer. Right now, forgiveness is kind of like on display, but we don't know who's buying yet. The Pharisees see who he's eating with. These tax collectors, these sinners, and they point out to his disciples, look who he's eating with. And they ask him, why those people? I mean, people think about you based on where you eat and with whom you eat. I mean, when I said I like Portland pie and Empire, I mean, both expensive places in downtown Portland, you could think, okay, he's got a good palate. But no, I guarantee you, when I said Taco Bell, you change your minds real quick. I mean, I have friends, when I say, hey, let's get Taco Bell, they clutch their waist and they say, oh, please, anything but Taco Bell. But I mean, people sometimes will make judgments about the kind of places you like to eat, but even more so, the kinds of people you might eat with. As it said, you can tell a lot about a person by the company that they keep. I mean, just look at who Jesus is hanging out with. He's got tax collectors, the despised people that can bring the authority down on you, the sinners who disrupt the order of things in our lives, who just don't know how to follow the rules that were set up in their society. Yet here, Jesus is sitting among them, perhaps the only person who truly knows the hearts of those around him, of those who have authority and those who scorn the rules. He sits with both of them. And why? Because he recognizes that there's something missing. There's something they're yearning for in their lives. And he engages with people who need something. Because his whole life is about extending the grace of God. His whole life is about mercy. It's about sharing that mercy of God with us wherever we are. Before they do anything, before they make any statement of faith, before they make any statement of repentance, we don't even know if the people he ate with left changed. Matthew leaves that out. But we know this: Jesus ate with them to extend mercy where everyone else extended judgment. When I was going to college, I spent some time as a youth pastor, and I want to tell you just a quick blurb about Nick. Nick was a teenager there who was incredibly popular in school. Everyone knew him. He had the dance moves. All the girls wanted to go to the dances with him. He was friendly. He was fun. He was funny. He was the popular kid. And I remember one time we had met for our youth group, our little small group, and we had talked about faith, and he comes in. He says, Tim, you won't believe what I did this last week. And I said, What, Nick? Tell me what happened. He's like, there's this kid who always sits by himself every single day. Every single day he sits by himself at lunch. And I went and I sat with him and just kind of hung out with him. And I said, really? He says, yeah. I said, my friends gather around, and we just ate and laughed together, and I had lunch with him. I said, that's amazing, Nick. That's exactly the kind of eyes that we're supposed to have as Christians. That's exactly what we're supposed to look at. And I said, how did he respond? How did he think? What did he think when you first sat down with him? Well, and he said, well, actually, he was really shocked. And he said, why are you guys sitting with me? Did you come to make fun of me? I mean, that is the kind of like solitude, the kind of loneliness that he had experienced for days and days on end. And in a brief moment, the cool kid spent time with him and brought friends along and showed him what it's like to laugh and engage with one another in a way that wasn't laughing at him. In that moment, he had mercy. And I remembered in my time in high school, I went to a few different high schools, so in at least one of those high schools, that kind of act, where it was like a society killer. It was like your standing is diminished incredibly just by hanging out with certain types of people. For Nick to do this, I said, Nick, thank you. I mean, what else is he going to do, though? I mean, just continue on perpetuating just kind of who he is and the friendships he has, or take a risk and take a moment and just show grace and mercy to someone that he knows and sees around him, to treat people as human beings whom otherwise would be ignored, disregarded, or discarded. Are we people who are willing to show mercy? For it is not just we are what we eat, it is you are where you eat. I want to say you are with whom you eat, but that just doesn't sound right. But really, it makes a difference among whom we are willing to be with and to extend the mercy and the grace of God. I think as Christians, we're kind of used to talking about sacrifice. We're used to talking about, well, what we've had to give up since we became a Christian, what we don't do anymore, what we think others ought not to do. And Jesus calls us to mercy. This is what he says when he says to the Pharisees, find out what it means when God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Because the Pharisees were good at sacrifices, not just what they brought up to the altars, but with all the things that they made sure that they didn't do and what they made sure other people didn't do. And Jesus said, the defining moment of who God is found in the mercy that is shared and the lives among those we come in contact with, being willing to walk alongside of and stand alongside those who don't know that there is a God who says, you are so much more than how people perceive you. In fact, we are so much more in the eyes of God than sometimes we even see ourselves. That the kind of criticisms that can be levied against us from others or even from our own self, God looks and sees so much more. I told you earlier that the calling of Matthew didn't necessarily show any kind of forgiveness, that his presence with the tax collectors and sinners doesn't necessarily result in their forgiveness. I mean, maybe it does, but maybe it doesn't. Mercy that Jesus extends is unconditional, and mercy is continuous. Mercy says, I'm going to eat with you, I'm going to love you, I'm going to be with you for who you are, no strings attached. And I think a lot of times we have expectations. There are strings attached. But we don't have to have a savior complex to eat with anybody. We don't have to have a savior complex to hang out with somebody who is different from us. We just need to say, you're important to God and so you're important to me. Has nothing to do with whether or not you have yet or expect you will soon yet make a change. We will be glad to find out indeed that Matthew does become a disciple, but that at this point in time doesn't come into the picture. When a physician makes out a prescription, he can do this and say, hey, you're sick. Let me give you a prescription. Let me share with you what you can do to be better. But they can't make you take it. They can't make you take the medicines that you're prescribed or follow the procedures that they've given you. But if you return to that physician, guess what? They're still going to see you. They're still going to tell you what your next steps are. Even if they have to give you a hard time for not listening to them the first time, they're still going to be able to say to you, hey, yeah, they're still going to see you. And in the same way, what if the company we keep is based on nothing than saying, hey, God's been merciful to me and I have mercy to share, and not about whether or not someone's going to respond in the way that we would intend or expect. Because mercy indeed is unconditional. No strings attached, and it's continuous. Without a doubt, a new start in a Christian life doesn't mean you have to lose all your previous contacts. I've had conversations with people who said, now that I've become a Christian, I'm afraid to hang out with so-and-so or hang out with this person. But in fact, it just says, hey, if God's been merciful to where we are, let's not forget to be merciful to wherever we've been and the people we are still around. That we can still find ourselves thinking, you know, even if I don't know about some of the people around us, that we can say, hey, I remember God, and he's been merciful to me. Jesus says here, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And I am thankful for that, because I still remember very clearly when I could say I was a sinner. When I could say, without a doubt, I had no interest in God. And I can say today, I still... that God is gracious even when we slip up. Even when we say, okay, I've been following Jesus now, but I still don't have it all together. Still some tax collectorness that still kind of hangs on like it did like it may have with Matthew. There's still, you know, he still has that moniker. He still has that name. But Jesus extends that mercy. And hopefully what we will find as a church is that we are called, as we embody and embrace who Jesus is, to also extend that mercy in the world around us as well. To be able to say, okay, there is a God who loves and cares, and I will be a person who just tries to share and extend mercy wherever I can. But I hope today more than anything, we might find that wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are in our life, that we might find that there is a God who says, you, yes, you can be forgiven. That there is a place for you at the table where Jesus is. That grace and mercy is always available. And God says, just simply follow me. Let's just take the next steps together. And let's see where the Spirit of God leads us and what He will do in our life. And I trust you that if we were to say perhaps, take a moment, maybe even diary it, and say, where are the moments where I've felt especially near to God and what's happening in those moments? That we might find ourselves more attentive to how can I indeed find and see and experience the mercy of God that continues to be poured out in my life. And it might help us to see indeed that there's a God moving and at work in our midst. Let us continue to worship and celebrate the Christ who has welcomed us with open arms, who has said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That for church and for pastors and preachers, I think a lot of times we're pretty good at saying, hey, this is the next step for you to take. This is the next step you ought to do. Say no to this, say yes to that. And to hear Jesus say, desire mercy and not sacrifice, becomes a breath of fresh air where we say, I just need to follow God and see where He's going to lead and what He's going to do. And in moments like this, it is a good time to just say, okay, God, where are you going? What are you doing? Whatever it is I want to follow, help me experience and receive your mercy in my life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is my hope today that as we have joined in worship, that we might be able to hear and know without a doubt that you are a God whose mercy is unending, never failing. That you are the God who has always come alongside of us and just said, follow me. And Lord, what you might do and how you might change us and shape us, Lord, that'll come. Lord, we don't need to beat ourselves up about anything like that because you don't beat us up about that. Lord, you just say, follow me. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that wherever we find ourselves, wherever we might be, that we would just say, okay, God, I'm going to take this next step with you. This next step of faith. And Heavenly Father, it is my prayer that as we become accustomed to following you and walking in faith, that we would also grow accustomed to extending mercy to those around us for no other reason than you've been merciful to us. And we have learned to love our neighbor. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.